What does it look like then to honestly reign in life? What does it look like to not be the victim, to not be controlled by the circumstances of life? In recent days, with all kinds of weird things going on in the nations, things that are outside of our control, and yet none of them are master over us. Hey there, well, welcome back. Glad that you're joining us. I told you last week I wanted to take what at least seems like a bit of a detour, and it'll make sense in a moment, because it's going to set us up for this exploration of wisdom, the mind of Christ, throughout the book of Proverbs. But here I want to read out of, just take one verse out of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5 of Matthew, where Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Doesn't sound like a verse that would go with the subject of wisdom, but it actually does. Here's the deal. It says, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor," that word flavor actually is the word foolish. Literally, it's the word foolish. So salt without flavor is foolish. What is salt with flavor? It's wisdom. What happens to salt that loses its flavor? It has no purpose. It has no flavor. By the way, salt enhances. Pepper, the other most common spice in this culture, salt enhances flavor, pepper changes flavor. What God has designed us to do is to sprinkle into culture and society to enhance the already God-given gifts that have been planted in our society, in our city, but to bring them out in a divine way. But here he says, salt that has lost its flavor, two things. Number one, it's foolish. Number two, it's trampled by men. Did you know that the purpose for Proverbs, the purpose for wisdom, is to equip us to reign in life? I've got this, Brian Simmons, who is such a wonderful man and has done an amazing job on the Passion Translation, something I love so much. But he makes this statement at the beginning of his introduction to the book of Proverbs. He says, for example, he said the Hebrew word for proverb, mashal, has two meanings. The first is parable, byword, metaphor, a pithy saying that expresses wisdom. But the second meaning is overlooked by many. The homonym, mashal, can also mean to rule or to take dominion or to reign with power. You know, think with me. What is the purpose for wisdom? It's to enable us to reign in life. That's it. It's to enable us to reign in life. Now, many will react to that statement because we have a secular idea of what it looks like to reign in life. It's to rule over people. It's to be the dominant one. It's to be, the one in charge of everything. I don't think it's good for the church to be in charge of everything. I personally don't think so. I think we need to serve well, love well, and if God promotes us to be in charge, that's wonderful. But the point is that we have impact by serving well. If you look at Daniel, you look at Joseph, you look at Esther, none of them were in charge of their countries, but they, in a sense, controlled or influenced the destiny of multiple nations because they served in their position well, honestly, with divine wisdom. Back to this thing here. Proverbs enables us to reign in life. Now, that's an actual statement that is found in the book of Romans, of all places, the road of salvation that is penned by the Apostle Paul in Romans. And he says this, he says, "Those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ." Reign in life. What does that mean? To reign in life, it means that I stop being the victim. It means money doesn't control me. I control my resources. It means I'm not the victim in my relationships. It means that I manage my heart well, my conduct well, as far as it depends with me, as Paul said, be at peace with all people. So I manage my life in a way that wisdom enables me to do, because I literally reign in life. I rise above the circumstances of life, and I don't become controlled or victimized by everybody else's wishes and conduct. That really is the way Jesus lived. He wasn't controlled by anyone. He wasn't obnoxious. He wasn't any of those things, but he reigned in life, literally reigned in life. There wasn't one situation that overwhelmed him or overcame him. I want to encourage you in this pursuit, and I hope I can say that this pursuit that you and I are sharing together to explore this lifestyle of wisdom, what does it look like then to honestly reign in life? What does it look like to not be the victim, to not be controlled by the circumstances of life? In recent days, with all kinds of weird things going on in the nations, things that are outside of our control, and yet none of them are master over us. And in divine wisdom, you and I become the people who get to influence others righteously. We get to inspire hope in others. Years ago, one of our ladies came out of a time of prayer and told one of our staff guys the Lord had spoken to her. And the word that she shared at that moment, I think all of us have adopted and is shared literally all over the world. And it was this: the person with the most hope will always have the most influence. The person with the most hope will always have the most influence. If you look at the subject of wisdom in Scripture, wisdom sponsors, fuels great hope. Because wisdom knows the beginning and the end of a matter. It knows the process. And I believe that the Lord is giving us a gift of wisdom, but also that capacity to stay connected. You remember Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to say in that hour. You don't have to prepare for what you're going to say, because in that moment, the Holy Spirit will show you exactly what you're supposed to say. That's that hearing ear part of divine wisdom, that you and I, with confidence in God's ability to speak loud enough for us to hear, we're going to hear wisdom at the appropriate time. I have one of my sons, my oldest son, has a hearing loss, and he hasn't been healed as yet. And I have always taken it upon myself to speak loud enough. I never punished him for not hearing me if I spoke and he didn't hear me. If I said something, he didn't hear it. It was always my responsibility to be heard, and I'm not a better father than he is. So I want to encourage you. The Lord is preparing us to bring great hope and literally to reign in life, learn how to follow wisdom so that circumstances of life don't manipulate and control us, but instead we use them for the glory of God. So I pray that for you. I pray that for every one of us, that in these coming days that we would be encouraged and strengthened in this great, great journey of pursuing divine hope. Now, I want to encourage you. Next week, we're going to take a look at what it looks like in my own personal pursuit of wisdom and what it looks like in the book of Proverbs. We're going to start with chapter 1. We're going to take a look at what it looks like to be a son learning wisdom. So that's where we'll start next week. Join us.